I've been in a computer class. It's called SAP with a new company that I work for, a new company called AmeriGas. It's the world's largest propane distributor. It's a mega billion-dollar company, and they bought out the company that I work for. So now I have to learn their system and their way of doing things. So I've been going. The next 2 months, I'll be everywhere, all over the United States, just going and coming with this new company. But I was in a, and I'm not, Alex will tell you, my strength as a man that's in the propane industry is not computers. that me and computers just don't get along. It took me a while to learn how to use my droid. I mean, my little boy, my six-year-old son knows more about my droid than I do. Really, and this new company, this new system that we're on is called SAP. I don't even know what the SAP stands for, to be honest with you. I guess I wasn't paying attention in class. And to my strength, it's definitely not. I wish I had half of what Alex knows about computers, especially at times like this when I got to sit 9 hours behind a computer screen, a laptop, and trying to learn a computer system. And I was real discouraged Friday. Actually, I was going to quit my job. I called my boss up. I called him. I ain't told my wife this. I called him at the. I said, look, I can't handle this. I said, I'm a propane salesman. I sell propane for a living. I'm not a computer nerd. And he said, whoa, settle down. Don't talk stupid, he told me. He said, I need you there. I need you a good manager. I said, I thank you for the compliment, but I said, I don't like working on computers, and I'm not going to go to class for 2 more weeks to learn this computer system. I'm not going to do it. He said, look, I'm not going to accept your resignation. You're going to stay and work for us. I said, okay, so I guess I'll stay. I said, well, all right, whatever you say. He said, look, just relax. Go through the system. Go through the training for 3 weeks, and you'll be all right. Just relax. I said, all right. I want to quit anyway because I didn't have no other job to go to. I was just talking trash because I was mad. And so it hit me, though. It hit me. It's just like the Bible. Many people don't even know what it means to be called a Christian. They don't even know what it means to be called a Christian or to be a Christian or what it means to give your life to Jesus. And one of the key things, and I wasn't even going to stay long tonight. It's going to be brief because I really want to teach you something so vital. But the important thing about this system is I'm not going to learn it in 3 weeks. But they're showing me how to go to different formats to do certain things. But my boss said, look, Homer, relax. Retain all this information? I don't expect you to. You got a job whether you do good in this class or not. He said, but once you start doing it over and over again, then I'll what? I'll learn how to use the system. And it hit me and me. I said, he's so right. I said, I'm trying to retain information for 9 hours a day times 15 days, and I'm not going to retain it all. But as I come back from the training and I go to my office, I begin to do this over and over again every day. And I begin to learn the very things that confuse me. Why? Because I'm doing them over and over and over and over again. You know, it's the same thing in God's kingdom. I had the privilege, I can't say names. But I had the privilege of talking to some young men that really shared their heart with me. You know, and it's nobody's business who I talk to. And they were telling me how they try to do good. They try to do good and they end up doing bad. They say, I try with all my heart and I do bad. And so what do I do as a preacher? Do I say, you worthless piece of trash? No. See, that's not the way Jesus treats people. Jesus is just so happy that you open up your Bible for 2 minutes, even if it's for 5 minutes. He's just so happy that you even thought about reading your Bible. So as I talk to these young men, and I've talked to several young men, and they tell me their heart and their failures and their strengths, they say this happens. And I don't get mad at them. You know, I go like this sometimes, but I have to treat them like Jesus would treat them, in love and compassion, in their victories and in their weaknesses. So I'm only going to master that computer system by doing what they asked me to do over and over again. They gave me a password to practice the very things that I need to accomplish. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to relax. If I go in there, I've got to go tomorrow again. I love it. I can't wait to go. But it's the same thing with Christianity, man. No, nobody knows, really. I was talking to Corey the other day. They were Ruben's son, Corey, and he was telling me how important 1 John was. And I told him, and I was wrong a little bit. I said, I don't know if I should tell young people to read 1 John when they first get saved. It's a very hard book. And he told me it wasn't. I said, okay, can I ask you a question? I said, what is love? He couldn't answer the question. I said, that's what I thought. Because 1 John is very hard to understand. Because you got to know when he's talking to a sinner, or he's talking to a person that's born again. But listen to this. And I know we went over this before. We're going to go over it again today, and it ain't going to take me long. But I'm going to go over basic Christianity with you. Christianity 101 on what it means to be a Christian. Now, you see people on Facebook there right now. Again, I'm judging nobody. Guys, I got faults in my life. I got faults in my life. I am far from being perfect. You know, like something happened a while back. DJ said, don't worry about it. Forget about it. And he was right. We just got to get on with our life. We all got failures in our life. All of us do. But that's why the blood of Jesus is there to cleanse us from our sin. So when a person gives their life to Jesus, what happens? What happens when a person gives their life to Jesus? Indeed, what happens to us? Do we even know what it means to be a Christian? The statement that I love Jesus is used too loosely. Wouldn't you agree, Alex? It's just used way too... People do not know what it means to love Jesus. Believing in Jesus is one thing. Knowing Him as Savior is another. And the church in general has gotten so weak because really and truly, preachers don't know the mind of Christ and they don't know the Bible. But I want to help you establish within your heart what it means when you say, I love Jesus. Not according to my personal interpretation, not according to my pastor's interpretation, but according to God's holy, undefiled word. When the man or woman yells out, I love you, Jesus, in essence, according to the Bible, this is what it means to love Jesus. Now, listen to this now. Listen. Listen to this. I promise I won't keep it. I'll probably be out of here by 7:45. Listen to this. I just want to teach you. Well, give me a little medley on here, please. It won't seem so dull in here. Just something. Listen to this carefully. I beg you. I beg you. Don't walk around. Stay with me. I want to teach you what it means to be a believer in Jesus Christ. Listen to this real quick. I'm going to read out of the book of 2 John. It's only got one chapter, but it's verse 3. It says, grace, mercy. You got to remember these words now. And you're going to get it, but you got to listen. Grace, mercy, peace will be with you from God the Father. From the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. The Son. He's talking about Jesus. Listen to this now. Carefully. Please. I beg you. I beg you. Saying I love you, Jesus, is more than a saying, my friends. Saying I love you, Jesus, is a lifestyle. Now, we're all growing together, but I want you to know what it means to love Jesus. Listen to this. He said, grace, mercy, peace will be with you from God the Father. And from the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this. The Son of the Father in truth and in love. Listen to what it says now. Listen carefully. He said the Son. He's talking about Jesus. The Son of the Father. Listen to what he says now. He's making reference to Jesus. Jesus, the Son of the Father in truth and in love. Listen to me now. If you can grasp what I'm going to teach you today, I guarantee you, if this can be deposited inside of you, your days of sinning over and over again, they'll be cut in half, man. Or even more, because you're going to have a clear understanding of what lives inside of you. Listen to what he said about Jesus. Well, John writes, he said, Jesus, the Son of the Father, in what? In truth and in love. Did he mention one thing or two things there? He mentioned in what? In truth. He said, Jesus, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. In truth and in love. Verse 4, I rejoice greatly. John is writing to a lady at a church, to a very small church. He says, I rejoice greatly that I have found of your children walking in truth to receive commandment from the Father. Listen to this now. Listen, this is the first part. Verse 3, he talked about Jesus. the Son of the Father in what? In truth, comma, and in love. John is making reference to Jesus. Listen to me, I beg you. If you can grasp this, I guarantee you the victories in your life will be cataloged, buddy. I'm telling you, if you can grasp what I'm going to teach you today, you'll become a better person in God. But you got to listen, I beg you. John writes regarding Jesus. Jesus, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. Then he talks in verse 4. He said, I rejoice greatly that I have found of your children walking in what? Truth. Who received the commandment from the Father. Now he said that Jesus was the Son of God in truth and in love. But here he's talking about people. He said, I rejoice greatly that I have found of your children walking in truth. Who received the commandment from the Father. Now before me and you were born again, we didn't know the truth. But the day that we realized that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, we said, Jesus, come into our hearts. Be my Lord and my Savior. Jesus, you died for my sin. If you believe that Jesus is God, and you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you confess Him with your mouth and believe in your heart, automatically that qualifies me and you to be a son of the Father in what? In truth. He said, Jesus is the Son of the Father in truth and in love. Then the next verse he said, I rejoice that your children are walking in truth. Did he say they're walking in truth and love or just truth? But according to Jesus, the man, he said, Jesus is the Son of God in truth and in love. But according to people, he said, I rejoice greatly that your children are walking in truth. He didn't say in truth and love, but he said in truth. If you are born again in here today, not according to this church here cannot get you into heaven. I can't get you into heaven. There's only one man that can get you into heaven. That is the man, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the moment you confess that Jesus is the Son of God, you become a son of God in truth. Because you confess the, and what is true, that Jesus is what? Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the Son of God. That qualifies me and you to be sons of God in truth. The truth is, you're saying this, Lord, I'm a sinner. Jesus, you died on the cross for my sin. Jesus, you are the only way to the Father. Come into my heart. I acknowledge, Father, that Jesus Christ is God. I acknowledge, Father, that Jesus Christ is your Son. Jesus, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Immediately, Jesus comes and lives inside of you. And me and you are qualified to be sons of God in truth. Okay, listen to that now. He said regarding Jesus, Jesus, the Son of the Father, in what? In truth and in love. He talked about people. He said, I rejoice greatly that I found of your children walking in truth as we have received the commandment from the Father. It's like if John is writing me. He said, Homer, I rejoice that 30 kids are walking in truth. In other words, John would be saying, I rejoice that Deidre, Rosie, Quentin, Elijah, I rejoice that they're born again. I rejoice. I know they're not perfect, but I rejoice that Jackie is born again. Or that Olivia is born. I rejoice in this. See, the moment we get everybody in here that has asked Jesus Christ to come into their heart and was serious, Jesus lives in you and you are a son of God. And what? Say, I am a son of God in truth. Because I have confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So you've established that being a son of God in truth is being a person that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. That qualifies me to know Jesus in truth. John said, Jesus, the Son of God in truth and in love. Then he talked about people in verse 4. He said, I rejoice greatly that I have found of your children, Homer, walking in truth, as we have received the commandment from the Father. Shouldn't there be another word behind us knowing God in truth? Shouldn't there? He said regarding Jesus, He did Jesus, the Son of the Father, in truth and what? So then, we're the sons of the Father in truth through Jesus. But shouldn't there be another word after that word truth when it comes regarding me and you? What was the other word that described Jesus in verse 3? Truth and in. We know Jesus in truth because we're born again. There's another thing that comes with our conversion that follows truth. And is what? Love. That's why, and guys, I got issues in my life. Yes, I do. If they wrote a book about me today, would they say that Homer was the son of God in truth and love? Or would they just say that Homer was the son of God in truth? I don't know. I'm hard on myself. I'm hard on myself about my lifestyle. I know I'm not perfect. I strive to walk in love. I'm not perfect, but I am a son of God in truth because I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So listen to this. Now we've established that we're called to walk in truth and in love. But the majority of the church only walks in with the truth that Jesus Christ is. Guys, that's the beginning of a wonderful journey in God, is to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So what does it mean to be a Christian? Well, we're going to go on that a little bit further. He said in verse 5, he said, "And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we what? That we what? That we love one another." He said regarding Jesus, Jesus, the Son of the Father. Listen to me, guys, I beg you. The Son of the Father in truth and in love. In verse 4, he said that we were the sons of God in truth. But how else should we be identified as sons of God? Not just in truth, but in love. Listen to this now. Verse 5, he said, "Now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another." Jesus was the Son of the Father in what? Truth and in love. We know the day that we receive Jesus as Lord, we're sons of God in truth. But being a son of God in truth is just the beginning of a wonderful journey in God. Out of that truth that Jesus Christ is Lord, Jesus comes and lives inside of me. God is light. Jesus is light. They come and lives inside of me. Jesus is love. God is love. Jesus comes and lives inside of me. If Jesus is love, if God is love, and He comes and lives inside of me, then what lives inside of me? Then what? If Jesus is love, and God is love, and what qualifies me to be a son of God is to acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, then Jesus or love comes what? Lives inside my spirit. And if love lives inside my spirit, everything that Jesus says or comments on is what? Because He is. Anything that I know to do right out of my spirit comes from Jesus. And that's qualified as being what? Love. When I'm told not to cuss, that instruction comes out of my spirit. What is that instruction? What is it? Come on now. When I'm told not to do any bad thing, when I'm told not to yell at my wife, what if that instruction comes from my spirit? And Jesus instructed me not to yell at my wife. Then that instruction is, if I'm instructed not to drink out of my spirit, and Jesus instructed me out of my spirit, then that instruction is what? If I'm instructed out of my spirit not to commit adultery or fornication, and Jesus gave me that instruction, then what is that instruction? Anything that we're called to do that lines up with this word that Jesus commands me to do is love. When He tells me and you not to gossip. When we know that gossip is wrong within us. What is that instruction? What is that instruction? When I know to do right in God. The right that I'm known to do is what? When I know to do right in God and I do wrong. What is it? Huh? Hate. The opposite of love is hate. So I'm going to quiz you now. And I'm talking to myself, God, listen to me. I'm judging nobody. I just want you to know what love is. I said earlier that out of our spirit, we know not to drink. And the person that told me and you not to drink, we felt that feeling inside of me and you. That was Jesus saying, don't do it. And if Jesus said not to do it, then that instruction is what? Love. And I'm preaching to myself, man. I mean, I don't get drunk. I don't cheat on my wife. I don't do those things. There's little things that I do, but not that. And I'm not judging anybody here that does. You got one to judge, and his name is Jesus Christ. Think about it now. Love is doing what's right in God. That's what love is. People say, I believe in Jesus. Well, believing in Jesus won't get you to the hands of the Father in heaven. Love. See, we're sons of God in truth, but Jesus was a son of God in truth and in love. You know what qualified Jesus to be a son of God in truth and in love? You know what qualified him to be a son of God in love? Jesus the man, what qualified him to be a son of God in love is this. Jesus was faced with the same temptations that me and you as men are faced with. Jesus was faced with a temptation to have a roaming eye. Jesus was popular, but yet hated. He was loved, and yet hated. You don't think that Satan threw beautiful women at the feet of Jesus so that maybe he could have intercourse with him? You don't think Satan put pounds and pounds and tons of money in front of Jesus to sidetrack him from his journey with God? What qualified Jesus to be a son of God in love is he said no to the things of the world. What's 1 John say? Talking to believers. Love not the or the things in the. 1 John wrote, love not the world, Homer. I'm preaching to myself. Love not the world, Homer. He's talking to a believer. He said, love not the world, Homer, or the things in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not working in him. We're faced with choices every single day on how to live our life. We're not just called to be sons of God in truth, but in love. A Christian that walks in love. Love has been in the church a person that can stay up here and raise her hands and worship God and cry. Which, guys, I cry and I worship God. I'm not coming against that. Oh, my God, did you see Alex? Oh, he loves Jesus so much. God, he's a worshiper. And I've heard it said from here that God blesses a worshiper. Only one problem. Can you please find me that in Scripture? God blesses a man or woman that walks in love. Oh my God, I've made the mistake where I wanted people to preach based on the way they worship God down here. No. God doesn't bless a worshiper. God blesses a man or woman that walks in love. A man or woman that walks in love is one that lives his or her life doing what's right inside of God. That's why Jesus was the Son of Truth, was the Son of God in truth and in love. And in love was because Jesus never, not one time, gave in to the world. So Pastor Homer, you're saying that You do things that are wrong? Yes. So I do not completely walk in the love of God. Because when I'm instructed, when I say, Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus come lives in my heart. And then what comes and lives in my heart? If Jesus lives there, what? Love. Say it with me. Say, Pastor Homer, when Jesus comes and lives in your heart, Jesus is love. So then your heart now is filled with love. Okay, now stay with me. Here we go. So then, as I give my life to Jesus, let's see, some of you give your life to Jesus tonight. You're going to become a son of God in truth. But God wants you to take that from being a son of His in truth, but being a son of God's in love. You'll be faced with a choice and with a temptation tonight to do something opposite of what's right inside your heart. And some of you are learning. I'm learning with you. But this is how we know. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I'm done. Almost done. This is how we know that we walk in love and indeed we walk in Jesus. It's not based on what Renee said on emotion. It's not based on tears at the altar. It's based on love. It's based on love. Listen to this and we're done. Let me ask you something. Be honest with me. Are you learning something today? Really? Amen. That's good. That's all that matters to me. Listen to this and we're almost done. He said, I rejoice greatly that I have found of your children walking in truth as we received the commandment from the Father. Now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have received from the beginning, that we love one another. He said, you're born again. You're qualified to be a son of God in truth. He said, but your walk with God has to extend further than just knowing God in truth. Now we have to walk in love. This has been commanded to me and you by the author and finisher of the faith, Jesus Christ. This is what he says. He said, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. You get born again. Then he says, Homer, he doesn't physically tell you to love one another. It's in you already because Jesus lives in you. And everything that he says to me and you, Tasha, anything that he instructs me and you to do in him is what? Love. So do I have to tell you to walk in love if you're born again? Now think about it. Is it my responsibility, yes and no, to tell you once you get born again that you must walk in love? It might be a little bit, but the desire and the want to and love is in you. When you give your life to Jesus, then you know to do what's right. And you do what's right. You just walked in. As a Christian, if you get born again and you know to do what's right, but you do what's wrong, then you just walked in. Same thing goes for me. My weakest point in my life is patience. Lupita, me and Lupita worked together for years. And when I say, Lupita, I need this report, I'm by the, what machine is it? The printer. Wait, Lupita, Homer, I can't make it print any faster. I want my report. And since I lack patience, I've known to snap at people. And when you snap at people, you're rude with people. And when you're rude with people, you walk in hate. And you walk in hate because you didn't walk in love. And love would have been for me to stand by the printer. Hey, Lupita, can I have my flash report? What price, Piggy? That's what she calls me. $1.63. Get my report. Go to the restroom and read my report. Perfect scenario of what love would have been because God would have instructed me at that time to be patient. Listen to this now. He said, and now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. But listen to what he calls Me and you loving one another. He says, Homer, I command you to love Tasha. I command you to love Mama. I command you to love Deidre and Jelly and Miss Barbara. He says, I command you, Homer, to love one another. He said, okay, God. You want me to love? Come here, Tasha. Come here real quick. Yes, Tasha, I haven't seen you all week. Wednesday in church. I love you, Tasha. No, no, no. Okay, sit down, Tasha. That is what the church has labeled love. That's what the church has labeled love. That's not what the Bible says love is. I am far from being a rich man. Far. Oh my God, I live week to week. But my dad always taught me in my life to always give to the less fortunate. To always give to people that need. And that is my heart's cry. There's kids in this town that don't have rides. And sometimes I'm tired, but it's my joy to be able to help somebody out. Because God forbid that I die. God forbid that I die and my kids be in the same situation some of these other kids are in. I want somebody to help my children. And that's a passion of mine. To feed the hungry. I love being with these guys, man. You know, Deidre and Jackie. Not because they just come to my house. That's a passion of mine. And that is to an extent love. But this is what love is. Jesus says, He wants me. He said, love one another. He said, love one another. You got to listen to this now. He says, love Mammy, love Mercedes, love Marsha, love one another. He says, love one another. Love, listen to this. Listen to what He calls me loving you. Listen to this. He said, now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had in the beginning, that we love one another. Verse 5. But listen to what He calls me loving you. Listen to this. He said, this is love. He said, I want you to, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God now. Out of that belief, I want you to love one another. Jesus, what's love? And He says, in verse 6, He says, love one another. Then He says, this is love. He said, I want you to love one another. Then He goes on to give me a fine detailed description of what love is. He said, love one. He said, by the way, this is love. He said, I want you to love Marsha. I want you to love Elijah. I want you to love those 30 or 40 kids that go to youth night every Sunday night. I want you to love Alyssa. How do I love them, Lord? He said, and this is love. He said in verse 6, love one another. And this is love. He wants me to love you. He said, this is love, that we keep His commandments. Wait a minute. Me loving you should be an emotion. I should cry and hug you every time I see you. No, 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 no. He said, what qualified me to love you is to keep His commandments. How is me keeping His word? How does that qualify me to keep His word? How can I love you out of keeping His word? Shouldn't I show you an emotion to show you how much I love you? He said, love one another, and this is love. That we, the believer in Christ, walk according to His commandments. So as I do what's right, I was in a trip in Orlando. The company I work for, I'm done, almost there. They're a mega billionaire. They spend money on you, man. They spend money on you. They wine and dine you. I don't drink, but they feed me good. Oh my God, that's the only good thing about it. They put you in almost a 5-star hotel. I mean, you know, in 5-star hotels, they have a TV. And on that TV, They have a menu that has adult movies. How many of you know what an adult movie is? Quit lying and put your hands up. You all know what adult movies are. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I have a perfect opportunity away from my wife, away from my children, my church, and you to watch something I'm not supposed to watch. I read my Bible for hours every night while I was there. But what do you think Satan whispered in my ear? What's that? It's there. And how many of you know, and I believe in preaching blunt to you. I don't play around. How many know that there are some beautiful ladies that are porn stars? So what do you think as a man, a preacher, he came and sold into my mind? Oh, it's easy. You deserve a break. You're going to be here 5 weeks. You're going to be here 2 more weeks. Jesus in me is one step ahead of Satan. Before he came to whisper, Miss Barbara, I was already one step ahead of him in this. I had a chance. And you know what? Before God, it's easy to say no to that junk. Therefore, my soul wanted to flip the channel. But my spirit, well, who lives in my spirit? Who? Jesus is what? So love whispered out of my spirit that day. No, son. I could have flicked the channel. You would have never known. My wife would have never known. But my God would have known. And it was so easy not to flip the channel. So that day, for 5 nights, I chose to walk in. That, my friends, is love. When you know to do right in God, and you do it, that is love. That's why Jesus was the Son of God in truth and in love. Because everything he knew to do right in God, he did. Now this last minute or so, there are certain things that I've overcome in my life, but there are certain things that I still have to overcome. I have to overcome anger. So I still seem to love anger more than I do God. So there's areas in my life where I still walk in hate. So when I say I love you, Jesus, with all my heart, technically speaking, it is a what? It's a lie. I've heard people say, well, that man left his wife for another woman, but he loves Jesus with all his heart. No, he don't. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, I'm not here to judge you, but I am here to help you. I'm here to help you be a stronger man or woman of God. We're called to walk in love. And what qualifies me to love you is for me to keep his commandments. Walk with me on this journey. And Jackie, I thought Jackie was here, wasn't he? Read 2 John. It's a very small book, but all that I just preached to you came out of 13 Bible verses. And it's simple and it's short. You can't say, well, it's too long. Just read 2 John. It's right behind 1 John. Read it. Read it. All that I taught you tonight is in the book of 2 John towards the end of the Bible. Read it 4, 5, 6, 7 times a day. And you'll begin to see what I'm preaching to you tonight. Love is not an emotion. Love is not an affection. Love is obeying what's right in Jesus Christ. You want to be even more honest with you? I yelled at my wife last night over stupidity. So last night, your pastor that's telling you to walk in love walked in last night. Pastor, are you a hypocrite? No. Because I'm not hiding my issue. See, it's okay to have issues, just don't hide them. When you hide the issue and the sin that you have, then that's hypocrisy. Because you're living in pretense. So what do, Pastor Homer? Read 1 and 2 John over and over again. Till God's word gets stronger and stronger in me. So we're called to love God, not just in truth, but in love. And love is to love one another. And loving one another is to walk according to God's commandments that live inside of your spirit. That, my friends, is love. And when a person walks in the love of God, let me tell you something. Your prayers in life will be answered. That's what it means to walk in love. Don't judge nobody by what they say about Jesus. We get too caught up in that. Oh my God, they're so anointed. Oh, do you see the way they worship God? A lot of people that worship God with emotion. See, those are the worst ones. The Christian that will say little, he's the one that will do exploits for Jesus. I told Alex tonight, I meant it with all my heart. And the more I pray in tongues, the more I realize. I said, Alex, put it on Facebook that we're going to start a brand new teaching again on 1 John. Please do not put my name on Facebook. What did Alex do? It's not about Homer. It's me presenting Jesus Christ to you. I introduce to you today what it means to be a Christian. I have fallen right along with you. Not to those degrees, but I'm here to help you come out of your mess, man. Through God's grace and through God's word. I want you to make it. I want you to convince yourself that you can overcome any damnable thing that this world says you have to do. So I'm not here judging you, my brothers. I'm here helping you in Christ and teaching you what it means to be called a believer in Jesus Christ. A person that loves Jesus obeys Jesus.